Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast on this very special occasion.
Yes, it is. My mom, Miss Annie Ruth.
Yes. She is 93 today.
93.
And I'm telling you, still a powerhouse for Jesus.
Giving the devil a black eye and a bloody... Black eye and a blood nose every time he gets a chance.
And giving all glory to God.
And giving glory to God. Happy birthday, Mama.
Amen, Mama. Hallelujah.
Over the past 2 days, we've been discussing seven deadly sins.
That's right.
Actually, we just got through with one. You know, it was long. Let's do a brief review. Number one, my background, circumstances, and surroundings should never determine my financial destiny. Here are seven reasons why your background, circumstances, and surroundings do not determine your financial destiny. First, you're not on a fixed income. Second, you need to eliminate the poverty mentality. Third, gain the victory over the victim complex.
Wow.
Fourth, stop making negative confessions. Fifth, stop looking to them and begin looking to Him. Six, don't insult God by denying His word with the words of your mouth. And seventh, be careful about whom you associate with. So now let's move to the second deadly sin.
Number two, I can't afford to tithe and give offerings. Of course, our usual comment to that is you really can't afford not to.
But anyway,
in James 4, verse 17, Classic Amplified Bible, it says, so any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. If God tells us to tithe and give offerings, which he does, then to not tithe and give offerings is really, truly a deadly sin against yourself. Malachi 3:10, Classic Amplified Bible says, bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you, wow, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Tithing is not conditional, as many people feel, based on the circumstances or the needs at the time. There is no asterisk at the bottom of the page that exempts anyone from tithing. If you've lost your job or your hours were cut back or you needed to repair your car. If the clothes in your closet, the car in your driveway, the couch you're sitting on and the computer you're looking at or the house you're living in has caused you to tithe irregularly, then the windows of heaven are going to stay closed over your life. It's really as simple as that in the Word of God. When we tithe, the windows of heaven are open. When we don't tithe, they remain closed.
True.
So why are the windows of heaven closed until you tithe? Well, it says to keep the thieves out. Malachi 3:8 in the Classic Amplified says, will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. But you say, in what way have we robbed or defrauded you? You have withheld your tithes and offerings. What does a robber do? He steals from people. What do you do to keep robbers out? You close the windows and lock them.
That's it.
Exodus 20:15 says, thou shalt not steal. If we steal what doesn't belong to us, it makes us a thief. However, when we do what the Lord directs us to do, when we give tithes and offerings, then we literally position ourselves for the blessings of God, which is like a mega harvest from our Heavenly Father who owns everything in heaven and on earth. When you give tithes and offerings, He opens the windows of heaven and pours you out, not somebody else, but you out, a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I love the sound of that, don't you, honey?
Yes, I do.
So we don't know about you, but we've got some pretty big rooms to fill in our house.
Hallelujah.
Even if we only had a one-room shack, there'd still be a lot of blessings to hold. And there is only one place in the scripture where God actually says to us, prove me, put me to the test. And that's in Malachi when it comes to giving and receiving. We also love how Malachi 3:10 reads in the Message Bible. It says, test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. Hallelujah and amen to that.
Amen. My wildest dreams.
Ooh, all right.
Now, let me tell you, God made me, you. Well, actually made all of us a dreamer, but he definitely made me a dreamer, a believer who'll take him at his word. We got to know, God provides for those who are obedient. However, we also have to know that if something's out of balance, it just doesn't work. When you work 40 hours a week to see your paycheck disappear in less than 2 hours, you're not tithing the devourer. If you're not tithing, the devourer will create a vanishing act for your money.
That's right.
What do you have? What do you get from your employer or retirement plan or any other source? Well, it'll be gone faster than my mama's banana pudding. You got to know. Your financial sense will find you out. One other thing. If you're one of the well-intentioned but scripturally inaccurate believers who think that tithing is a part of the old covenant and not the new, I encourage you to go to heraldherring.com and search for the article, A Fresh Look, A New Testament Tithing. It'll bless you. Number three, it's too good a bargain to pass up. Wow. Mm. Here's the bottom line. If you can't afford it, it's not a bargain. It's definitely a deadly sin to spend money you don't have on a bargain. You either don't need it or need it at the moment. Proverbs 21:20, the Living Bible. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. There will always be a bargain. Well, there will always be a bargain. In the history of the universe, one bargain is always replaced by another bargain.
Yep. You're not going to miss much. Number four, living paycheck to Prozac. If my husband's memory is right, and I know it is, correctly, he was speaking in Chicago, Illinois at a debt-free army rally with our good friends, Randy, who is now transitioned, sweet Randy, the Rand, I called him, and Laurel were in the audience when the Lord said to Harold, teach my children how to stop living from paycheck to Prozac. And he has spoken that message all over the world and lived to hear others quoted even sometimes in public places as if it were their own. But hey, you know what? God's wisdom is for all of us, right? Speaking of godly wisdom, though, 1 Timothy 6:9-11. 1 Timothy 6:9-11 in the Classic Amplified says, but those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. For the, listen closely, for the love of money is
That's
the
right.
root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs. You know, I've heard lots of people say to me, oh, well, you know, money is the root of all evil. And I go, have you read the scripture? It says the love of money. But the point is, what does the world recommend for those with acute mental anguish or pangs? Prozac, when the pressures of life become more than they can tolerate or handle. What natural remedy that the doctors recommend? Prozac. When your money continually runs out before the end of the month, where do people run for mental relief? Prozac or something similar to it. Sadly, there are a lot of families in the United States on, you know, two paychecks away from a financial disaster, maybe even one. The average working mom only gets to spend about 40 minutes a week even playing with her children. If a person is not rooted and grounded in the word, they look for emotional relief with Prozac. Psalm 119:143.
I love this.
Psalm 119:143 in the New Living Translation will give you, I have a personal testimony on this, will give you the answer. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. I don't often share this, but there was a time in my life, I had three little kids and I had pneumonia most all the winter through. We just didn't have a lot of money back then. We were working in ministry and I was home with our children. And I got to the point where my doctor told me, he goes, he gave me a prescription for Prozac. And I looked at it, I took it home, and it's exactly what I did. I got down by the side of my bed and I laid that up on the bedside. And I said, Lord, you're either real or you're not, but I am not. He actually told me, he goes, I'm going to bury you if you don't take some of this off of you. And here is your prescription to get rid of it. And I said, Lord, you're either real or you are not, but I am not taking this and I'm counting on you to help me. And that is the God's gospel truth. I didn't feel anything at the moment. I got up off my knees and I tended to my three small children and did the best I could considering I had pneumonia. And I kept on going, but God, I convinced from that day I meant business. He took me and started to take that stuff off of me and put grace, enough grace in me to walk through what I needed to walk through. In 1 Thessalonians 3:7, that was a little rabbit trail. In 1 Thessalonians 3:7, Classic Amplified.
That was a good one.
Thank you. And anyway, we'll go on. Is another stress reliever when it says, brethren, for this reason, in spite of all our stress and crushing difficulties, we have been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith, the leaning of your whole personality on God in complete trust and confidence. And the reason I say that too, I mean, I'm hoping that that helps somebody. We have stress. We have crushing difficulties that come down on us, but our only way out is not Prozac, but a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And here are seven ways more effective than Prozac in dealing with stress on a personal level.
First, spend more time in the Word and His presence. We realize that you may have wanted us to give you a bottle with a genie in it. But let me assure you that just having more money will not in and of itself solve your problem. But time with God will. Every answer to every question to every stress is found in His Word. Second, communicate without playing the blame game. Talk to your spouse and or your children about what's going on. Make sure everybody understands that from your perspective, the most important thing is not fixing the blame, but solving the problem.
Amen.
Third, exercise will free your mind and liberate your body. When you exercise, you release endorphins, which refreshes and renews your body. Fourth, eat properly. Eat properly. Unfortunately, financial stress adversely affects our eating habits. People tend to overeat, binge on chocolate chip cookies or, you know, Bluebell ice cream or Ben and Jerry's, or they undereat. Neither extreme is conducive to your health. Discipline yourself to eat at regular times and eat healthy. Fifth, sleep right. During financial stress, people either have trouble sleeping or sleep way too much. Now, the option's good. If you have trouble going to sleep, find something that will relax you. Listening to soothing music, instrumental, or maybe reading a book. You know, I've found that praying for people while in bed will put me to sleep faster than any artificial sleep aid.
Amen.
And by the way, only use natural ones.
Yes, if you possibly can.
That's it. Six.
Guard your heart. Wow. 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 This will preach. During times of financial stress, the enemy will try to place in your daily routine a sympathetic ear from someone other than your spouse. Make sure you don't fall into that trap. You know, seventh, shake up your routine. Develop a new inexpensive hobby. Do something that you wouldn't normally do. Go for a walk with your spouse. Spend some time at the lake sitting on the hood of your car watching the sun go down.
I like that.
As you talk about life and not the current financial situation. Wow, we've run over today.
We have.
Thanks to me. But we're going to continue this, and we're believing that you're going to be getting a whole lot out of this in the days ahead.
Amen. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.